Yeah, so today what we're going to do is, you know, a lot of times what we do, we just roll into a church and it's just kind of, you just go and you just try to figure out how you can fit into it, and you don't necessarily understand why they're doing or why they are the way they are or what. And so what we're going to do is just have a conversation today and help you understand, kind of remind ourselves who we are as Mountain View, but to be able to give us a picture of kind of how things got started, so that you won't be able to be asking, hey, how do I fit into this? But you'll be saying, hey, this is what God is doing in me, and this is how the Mountain View family could be blessed.
Yeah.
So,
and what we've been doing is we've been preparing for this. It's just good to remember. It's just too easy to forget how this all got started, what God's doing, you know, and just our culture, the pressure that we put on ourselves to look forward. And it's very healthy to just stop and remember all the good things that God's done.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And another plug for Judges.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Amen.
Hey, we're going to be studying the book of Judges here in a couple of weeks, and one of the reasons why...
That's your average Bible study.
That's right, yeah. But one of the reasons why Israel is in the state that they're in when we go through and we're going to be studying the book of Judges is because they neglected to remember what God has done for them and who He's been.
Absolutely.
And so it's important for us as a church family to keep that on the forefront. So before you kind of give us a picture about how things got started... want to just make sure all of you know that even though Marissa and I have only been here for 2 years officially with Mountain View, I have had a number of years of connection, peering from a distance with the Mountain View family. When I was down at Liberty University, I would come up for weekends and be able to see and worship with the Mountain View family in the Stone Chapel, which you'll hear about. And it was crazy. It was awesome, but it left me different even to this day because I didn't experience anything that was quite like it, because when you pull into the parking lot of the Stone Chapel where they were, there were all these steps that lined up, and everybody, I'm not saying like just a greeting group, it was everybody was lining the steps, and I had to hug everyone. I mean, I was a guest. I mean, that was weird for me. But
they don't do that in Jersey?
No.
No.
No. No. No. Not at all. But what it left me with was that I left there feeling loved, and I was like, man, I just went there one time.
Yeah.
And so there was a very family-oriented feel that I was able to perceive from the very beginning of things. And so now, you know, 10, 15 years down the line, now being able to be here is awesome, because that's the same spirit we're trying to fight to hold.
Yeah.
So, if you don't mind, can you help us understand how did things get started? What led the Mountain View beginning?
Yeah, I'll start, and I forgot to introduce myself last time.
It's okay.
If you don't know me, my name's Tom Crawthamel.
Hey, no, Tom, nice to meet you.
Yeah. I am one of your elders. Anybody wants to leave now, you can. And one of the original...
on the elder team.
Yeah, the original group of people that started this church.
Yeah.
And it was born out of brokenness, which is not... I was thinking about that after I said that earlier. That's the gospel.
Yep.
I mean, Jesus starts with us being broken and repairs it. And so... the church that me and my family were going to in Charlottesville at the time was going through a very difficult time, a broken time, where relationships weren't good and the pastor had left and we were looking for some pulpit supply. And I was a deacon at that church, and so I was tasked with, probably not the only one tasked with, trying to find somebody to speak. And so I called my brother Paul, who is a minister, and he was in Maryland at the time. But I asked him, I said, hey, do you know anybody, you know, that could help us out? And he said, man, I know this guy, Tim Duggins. He's down in Charlottesville. Here's his number. See if you can get a hold of him. And so, long story short, I did, and he was able to come to the church and start preaching for us a few times, probably, right? And then as a result of him sharing his heart, preaching the gospel, then my heart just started to just yearn for more of what this man had to offer and more of the content. And so he and I met with Philip Morris, who some of you may know, at Vinny's Pizza on Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a very significant, you know, part of our past. I mean, that's like the seed of where it was planted. And so if you ride by the high school on Hydraulic Road, right across, I think at the dentist office now, but that's where Mount View kind of started in a conceptual way. So we had a great conversation, a lot of details I can remember that I won't repeat, but the bottom line of it was what we're looking for, the kind of church family we're looking for. We don't know where that exists, so we're going to have to do it ourselves, or we would like to do it ourselves. And so we started praying right then. We said, hey, we're going to have a Bible study. And after all these years, that's really what it's still about, is just like
prayer,
digging into
prayer,
the
Bible
praying.
Study.
Yeah. So that's how it started. We started with a Bible study. How many of you were at that original Bible study? Stand up. Original Bible study in Philip's garage. We got my family. All right, stay standing up.
Come on,
stay standing up.
Stand up.
So then we went.
Zach was on the original rack stack soundboard.
Yeah, he is
6 feet away from me.
Now his little brother's back there doing.
Yeah.
So then we launched and went to the Stone Chapel. So how many of you were at the Stone Chapel? You
can y'all stand keep up. Standing up. How many of you were at the Stone Chapel?
So we got stand some up. More.
Yeah.
Man, you guys go way back, and we are so appreciative. And then
we started coming to PVCC.
PVCC was the next location. Anybody?
Oh, yeah.
PVCC.
There we go.
Isn't this crazy? Yeah. And we were at a couple other little places in between.
American Legion.
We met at a hotel.
Yeah, we met at the Holiday Inn.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. That was good. Dunkin' Donuts was right in front.
Yeah. Y'all can sit down now. Thank you. And then we moved here, which has been a dream of ours, just to be a part of a community and be a community church. And so, so that's a little bit about the trajectory of how we got started.
So as you were talking with Tim and Philip, what were some of the things that the core kind of beliefs that that you kind of wanted to launch and, you know, make sure that that's what the church is identified by?
You know, one of the biggest things that we appreciated about Tim was it was people first. It was relationships first. It wasn't about programs. And at the time, that really resonated with us because there were some programs that were trying to be protected at the other church above anybody else's feelings. And that's at least that's how I saw it. So what really resonated in that conversation was, hey, we people are first. If you walk over somebody to go do your children's ministry and you don't say hi to them and you don't be kind or you don't carry something if they're, you know, overloaded, then you just missed it. You just missed what church is about. If you're just so busy, like driven to get to your thing, then yeah, that's not what we want to be about. So people first certainly was one of the things. Loving God and loving others, that was a very core principle. It's part of our mission that we'll talk about. But that's simple when you say that, but it's, man, try to do that. Try to do that well. Love God means you have to know him. You know, it means you have to spend time with him. You know, the people that you love are the people that you spend time with for the most part. And then, you know, what he did for you, do that for other people. That's even harder, you know, because we want it, but it's harder to give it away. So we wanted people that served. So we called it producer. Be a producer instead of a consumer. Mm-hmm. Many of us, and I'm guilty, when you go look for a church, you go look for what's cool about it, what, how it fits you, you know. And there is some credence to that, but we wanted to make sure that if you're coming to church, you know that you have an expectation to produce. You're going to participate. You're going to be mm-hmm. part of this because we need everybody. You know, so those are a few of the things. We don't have any members. That's something we didn't talk about earlier. We don't. If you're in the church, you're in the church with the capital C. You know, so this is not about membership. We're not keeping track of who's here. We miss you when you're not. We may roll up on you if you're not after a while. But
yeah, we will.
Yeah, but it's not about, you know.
But it's because we miss people. It's not because.
Yeah, it's more genuine and authentic than roll call.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are a few of the things.
That's good. Do you have anything you want to add?
Well, one of the things that I mentioned the last time, but one of the things that we don't talk about that was a part of, I mean, we don't talk about it enough. We talked about it last service, and I think that it's one of those things that we need to discuss more is early on when Tom and Philip and I, when we were talking through things, and you guys, we'll talk about it a little bit more, but, you know, early on, I was the holdback for things, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But one of the things that we discussed is because simply we were just trying to be obedient. We didn't have a manual. We weren't part of some church plant, you know, vision. We were just trying to respond to what we felt like God was doing. So in the middle of that, when we finally got to the point where the home groups, like the home Bible study, had grown to the point, we usually shared a meal on Sunday nights. It got to the point, like we said, it was like we started having 60, 65 people show up to somebody's house. And then some of the ladies started going like, wait a minute, that's a lot of food.
Yeah, that's, you know, understandable.
Huh?
That's understandable.
It's very understandable. Absolutely. So one of the things that we talked about when it was time, we felt like it was time to quote unquote launch and begin Sunday services and start a public ministry is one of the things that we discussed is just like, this is not our church. This is not ours. So a lot of times when something's ours, we have a tendency to hold on to it like this. So we acknowledge from the very beginning, this is God. This is God's work. This is God's church. This is God's plan. So we actually, in part of the formation discussion, we said, we don't know what God's plan is. You read 1 Peter chapter 1, and you look at all those places listed where Paul's writing, where the gospel was spread to all these different regions. Well, the church was launched. There's a lot of different reasons. But we said to ourselves, okay, if God only wants to use us for 5, 10 years, and he wants to say, okay, I'm done with you, it's time to send you guys out to other churches to be a blessing, we said early on that, okay, let's be cool with that. And if God makes that plain and he's done with us, then if we have, and back then we were thinking like, if we've got a couple $100 in the offering, then we'll just send it to a missionary or we'll spread it out. You know, because we're just taking baby steps. We don't know what God's going to do. But early on, and you need to understand that that's still part of why we do what we do and we roll the way that we roll, is we don't have this perspective like, oh, we're the greatest thing since sliced bread and we're amazing. We're just thankful to be able to be to this point and see God's hand at work. But if God were to say, hey, I got to change a direction, we want to be willing to just be like, okay, God, whatever you want to do. And if that meant literally even now, and we don't want to do this because we love, but what if God said, I want to spread you guys out to different regions? Yes, we're going to be heartbroken because we love each other, but we're not trying to hold on to this like this is our church. No, this is Christ died for us. It's his church. He's the head. And that affects our decision-making even to today.
Yeah, and it's really cool because it seems like more and more we're getting to
know some more pastors in this area that have a little bit more of that mindset too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, we're starting to be able to see that, you know, there's pastors in Green and in Albemarle that we're praying. And, you know, some of you that have been bouncing through and visiting different church families, man, we check on you.
Yep.
Not because we were like, man, you got to be here in Mountain View, but just because, man, we care about your guys' souls to the best of our ability. And so it's really cool to be able to be a part of a region where that's kind of the heartbeat of the pastors in the area.
The church is way bigger than us.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have so little control anyway.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You know, we like to have a big plan, but.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So, hey, I love that. So what are some of the things about the early years of Mountain View that most people don't know?
I quit. And walked away for a year. We'd just been, I don't even know how long, the two historians here, how long had we been having public meetings? A year? Yeah, so we go through all this, Bible study, we launch, we have public services for a year, and I come to them and I say, I need to step away. And he'll have to tell you why, because I'll get choked up and I can't talk anyway. But we've always had a very gracious church family. And there was something special about what was going on. And the Sunday that I stood up and told everybody that I was resigning, the outpouring of love and grace, you have to take it.
So what Tim is not saying is that Miss Lori was dealing with cancer at the time, and he decided that he couldn't do both. So he stepped away to take care of her for several months. It turned out to be a year or close to it, and it was huge. It was a big deal for all of us. I don't know how many people were there at the time, but it was enough. Like you say, 50 or 60 or whatever, that were like, oh my word, you know, we don't want to lose what we have. So I just stepped in and did most of the speaking during that time. Thank you for your patience, whoever was dealing with that. I was just talking to the worship team. You know, Tim asked me to help with worship when we started. Talk about being gracious. I mean, I never did anything like that, so. And I'm still, like, banging around up here. So that's pretty good testament to your graciousness. But it was a difficult time. But it was also a sweet time because we knew that what had started really wasn't us. And it necessarily wasn't about Tim. Although the vision that they cast was solid and beautiful. We're like, oh man, we don't want to let go of this, you know. So thank you for everyone that stayed that year and just and toughed it out. And it's part of our DNA. It's part of who we are. And we don't talk about it a lot, but it's what it is. And so we were glad to have them back. Certainly, I remember they lived in Hollymead at the time, and I remember being out in front of his house. And I was like, man, I don't know if I can do it anymore either. You know, we got to the point where it was tough. And I to this day, I don't remember if that's exactly what he was waiting for. But as soon as I said, I quit or I can't do this, he's like, all right, let's go. Let's do it. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, we started the process of getting him back in, and that was beautiful. And
that's a picture of grace that our church family at the time just, you know, we had I met with the leadership. They said, come on back. We had a meeting at the Phillips Garage. I don't think there were like 45, 50, I don't know how many people. Some people were a little bit upset at me, felt like I had misrepresented myself, and I said, well, I didn't tell you anything that wasn't true. I just didn't tell you the whole story because I didn't feel like I could at the time. So everybody's like, nah, come on back. And, you know, we just hit the ground running and we just tried to be faithful. But that's part of our story because I think that it speaks of this church family and the graciousness and the love and the support that continues to grow. And Lori and I have felt it. And it's just part of our DNA. And if what we need to do is we just need to allow that to continue to grow inside of each and every one of us.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, you guys blew us away when Marissa and I moved down. We didn't even know any of you guys. You guys were cutting our grass and cleaning the house. And I moved in. That's the biggest thing. So, but that's the beautiful thing is that's the focus is what we're trying to be after is just meeting needs, being about people.
Serving. Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some of the things that you've learned through the years about ministry?
Go ahead.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Amen.
For the Bible tells me so.
It's true.
It is.
It's true.
That is true. That's really all you need to know. But I shared with the earlier service, Ephesians 4 something. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And that is with all humility, gentleness, patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And so that's like that could be the capsule of ministry. Be humble.
Yeah.
Please be humble. You know, Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. That is a hard fact, but you don't have to be a jerk sharing that message.
Yeah.
You should not be a jerk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you were broken. Jesus rescued you. That's your attitude when you deal with anybody else. He rescued you. You go walk across the street and show that kindness and that grace to somebody else. So I would say humility is, you know, gentleness with people. There's a flip side to that that we'll talk about too. But but that's probably one of the biggest things for me.
How
about you, Tim?
Just keeping people in relationships. It's easy to talk about love. You know, John 13:35, by this one thing, people are going to know that you are my disciples, you're my followers, by the kind of love that you have for one another. It's easy to let those words roll off your lips, but to be in the trenches with one another and to truly love on a relational level, to be involved in somebody's life, to get to know them, to know their story, to go through the ups and downs, the disappointments, and to just press in and continue to love. When it's about people and not a program, let's just be honest. We understand why we're drawn to programs. It's just way easier to create something, and then it just starts and it becomes a life of its own, where that's just easier to show up, do your time, leave, like, that's cool, I'll talk to you, but don't get in my business. I'm not going to get in your business. Or when you're loving, oh my word, the thing that I've learned over the last years is it's easy to talk about, but just consistently loving people and just, man, that we can't do that without God's intervention. And that's what we've been committed to. People come, they're here. Some people, they go and worship at other places, and you just know that you've got this. We've all got this old church in us that whenever I see somebody at the grocery store, is it the duck and hide and run thing? Or is it like, yo, man, how you doing? Genuine love. I'm concerned about the other person. It's not about whether you're promoting our brand. We got no brand. We just got a little bit of a logo. The brand is Jesus. So just to be able to love people and love people unconditionally and love people consistently, whoa, that is way harder than I ever thought it was. Because early years, I really got paid for producing big programs, great programs. Youth ministry, crank up the youth ministry machine. And with my personality, I fit right in. You know? Now as a older pastor, I'm still me. And some of you are like, has he been checked lately? You know? Yeah, thank you, Warren. I appreciate that, man. At least we understand each other. But you understand what I'm saying? To just consistently, unconditionally, faithfully love and stand next to people? Whoo! Still learning that.
Yeah. So I would say that's one of the big things. Love deeply. Don't judge.
Yeah.
We're all professional judges.
Oh, yeah.
It's come so easy. Whether it's clothing or how somebody acts or whatever. We just like, man, we're so quick. But and that's why Jesus spends a lot of time saying, don't do that.
Mm.
You know? And then no substitute for one-on-one time with Jesus. Yeah. I mean, there's no substitute. We'll be saying that for the rest of our days. If you want to love God, you got to know Him. You have to spend time.
Yeah.
And then one of the things, just to give you a little snapshot of a little bit of a flip side of that or how we got release. We had a Christmas Eve service one year, and we saw Michelle pulling this donkey.
It was at a barn.
It was at the barn.
Yeah.
Another barn.
At her parents' barn.
Pulling this donkey, like dragging this donkey by the rope. And it was just, it did not want to go anywhere. And Tim and I looked at each other, we're like, I know what that feels like. When you're trying to drag somebody and they don't want to come. So what happened, it gave us this freedom to say, okay, we're going to invest. We're going to love you deeply. But if you're going to make us drag you, we're not going to deal with you.
In the ministries that I was involved in, huge business ministries. So there was an expectation, you got to keep people. You understand what I'm saying? And so then what you wind up doing inadvertently is you're like spending your time dragging people across the floor. And so Tom and I, we laugh. I'm like, I'm done dragging people. You want to put down, get your haunches? I'm like, I love you. You stay right there. I'm tired of dragging. You ever tried to? So Michelle, she was in the last service. She just looked at us. I said, Michelle, we use you all the time. Like, not dragging. I'm going to love. But I'm going to wait. When you want to get up and you want to start, then we're going to. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a freedom in doing that. Because that way we can accept everybody for where they are and where they're on their spiritual journey. It's a lot easier.
Oh, for sure. And so before we kind of transition to kind of the last little bit of things, will you kind of just, I know we don't have like a proper, like, we're not about building a brand and all that.
Yeah.
Will you kind of cast the picture, like, why is Mountain View the way, why are we the way that we are? What's our vision? Why do we do what we do?
So if you notice, we don't have this cool vision statement. We don't have this cool mission statement. And there's nothing wrong with that. But for us, from the very beginning, we've just been trying to keep it simple. And so what that means is, honestly, our mission and our vision are in the scriptures. And Jesus made it plain. Go everywhere, all ethnicities, all ethnic backgrounds, and make disciples. Proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sin, the gospel message, and then pour into people and make disciples. So honestly, that's our vision for the future. It's all about relationships. And I believe that more people are getting that vision that, hey, that's something that I can do. Well, you don't have to be paid clergy. You don't have to have a Bible college and seminary degree to be a disciple. Some of the earth-shattering, life-moving impact of the early church, which is from average men and women and children saying, I believe, hey, can I tell you about who's changed my life? And so I believe our vision is very simple, but it's difficult at the same time.
I didn't say this earlier, but it's you.
Mm-hmm.
It's you. It's next generation. So one of the reasons we're doing this is for accountability. This is who we are. This is what we've tried to be obedient to build on and maintain. But We're older.
We're not trying to. We're not trying to hold on.
Older.
We're not trying to hold on.
So, but it's next generation.
Yeah.
It's you. It's finding faithful men and women that are going to proclaim the gospel and keep this alive. You know, and so,
all of us that have white hair.
Yeah.
Look to the person that doesn't. That's who we're talking about.
No, that's good. And I mean, that's, we just want to be about meeting people and leading them to the Lord. And that's something like this week that I kind of learned too, is that I was frustrated with doing church the way that we always do it, is that I was always told, man, you got to pour into somebody, make a disciple, and they need to be making a disciple and doing that. And you get frustrated because it's like, Marissa and I will be spending time with people, and it's like, what, where's the results, man? What's going on? Well, you know, literally on the drive home from some family this week, it clicked in my mind a little bit that, man, how much time did I spend with Luke? I spent so much time with this boy, Luke, and I'm so proud of him, but I didn't see anything for him while I was there in Jersey. Well, he calls me up on the phone and he said, man, Chris, this boy, he's my Luke. I need you to pray for Ben. He's my Luke. And so that's what we're trying to be about. Don't get lost in my story, but it takes time.
Yeah, absolutely. There's not a substitute for that.
Right, there isn't. It's not because Luke was in our youth ministry and he was going wild and crazy. It was just time with him.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're about. So if you need a flashy program and ministry, and we have some other churches that we'd love to point you to.
Mm-hmm.
No, but we want to be able to be free to be able to have these small groups that we're launching in the fall, where it may just be a meal and you pray for each other every other week. Yeah. But that's it. That's where the power of the gospel happens. That's where we see the New Testament explode. It's not because they meet and they have all this fancy stuff, but we want to be the people of God.
Yeah.
And so.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So with that, I mean, how do we feel that with this pressure in the current culture, with all that's going on in the United States and in the world, what do we do with this pressure, and are you guys discouraged? How do we respond?
I guess I'm going first.
I'm fired up, man. You better get your words in right now.
I'm encouraged.
Yeah, me too.
I'm encouraged because the increasing pressure that is around the world and the increasing depravity just tells me that God is real.
Yep.
He said it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And thank you to Chris Cowan for going through Revelation with me. I'm still in the book of Revelation, and you guys that have studied it with me. Revelation is all about being good disciples under pressure from the beginning of the church. And that's the message. The message, another big point of Revelation is, behold, God is on the throne. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ. If he could just peel back the clouds, we would see a throne. We would see elders around the throne. We would see this rainbow. We would see living creatures, choirs of people thanking him, giving him glory, praising him. He is on the throne. That is a reality. And so if you focus on that, then the pressures of the world are less. They're still there, but you know that he's on the throne, that he died for you, that he cares for you. And so if you keep thinking about that, don't compromise, don't leave him. You know, those are the challenges of the book of Revelation. Don't neglect him. There are things out there. There's a beast out there. There's dragons out there, you know, and it uses that kind of language symbolically. But the encouragement is, I'm in control and you're mine. And so just be a good disciple. Go get another one.
Yep.
Go tell another one.
Yep.
Come on. Yeah, but they don't repent. Go tell them one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Go tell them one more time. That's who Jesus is. That's the patience of God. And so I'm encouraged more now just because that's welling up inside of me.
Yep.
That's good. How about you, Tim?
It's a similar thing, just different words. Honestly, all that we've gone through, the pandemic, everything, I don't know about you, but I went through a period of mourning and sadness because I felt like that I lost something that had been dear to me growing up within our nation. And some of you may be feeling that way. Different, doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're standing on. And so as I work through that, I got to tell you that I am more excited about the future than I have ever been in my entire life. Because the scripture says that when things begin to change, the judgment, that purifying is going to start with us. So there's a, and you can see it all around us. The church is being purified. We're being flushed out. Some of you, you're confronting things within yourself that you've made excuses for the last 10, 15 years. And God is at work in our midst. And I'm just telling you right now, I am super excited because we have an opportunity to model to the world that we live in. We will not succumb to fear. We're not going to live in fear. We're not going to be overwhelmed by fear. Fear is not going to be what defines us. We choose faith. Not just faith, but we choose a focal point of our faith, and he has a name, and he has a position, and he is the Son of the living God, and he's so alive. Because guess what? He kicked death's booty. And he is alive, and he is actively working. Will you join the family? Will you come be a part of us? I believe that our greatest days are ahead of us. I believe that we got some mind-boggling things that we're going to experience. But it may look different than what our past church experiences have been.
I haven't shared this with either one of you guys, but I thought about this analogy this week. We're 16 years old as a church, and I remember that because Bo's 16 back there. And church started with him. He just got his driver's license. So as a church, we just got our driver's license.
We just got the training wheels off.
When you think about the future,
yeah.
When you think about, man, we're just now.
Yeah.
Just now.
Oh, I believe it.
You know, getting ready to get out on the road, and we just want you guys to come along and just help us, you know, and just proclaim that gospel as we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So as we conclude, we've said all this, we've kind of pitched who we are, you know, what we're trying to be about. So now for everybody here, everybody that's watching, what is the invitation to them? We talk about baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is our call to action for them as they're sitting here staring at us right now? Like, what are we supposed to do now?
We're just trying to remember where we came from. And here's the bottom line. If you ask Tom or ask me, I was the reluctant piece of the puzzle for so long. Tom said it very well in the last service, because I fear God and I respected the position of shepherd. And in no shape, form, or fashion did I want it to be something that I was pursuing because people wanted me to do it. I had to know unequivocally God had to stamp that on me. Then when he stamped it on me and made it clear to me, I'm like, okay, God, if this is a person you want to use in this position, I can't say he's got issues because he's God. I'm like, okay. And so our example is we're not anything great. We're just trying to show up and be faithful. We're just trying to show up and yield ourselves to God. And if you talk to us and you know our story, there's nobody in here that is unusable. There's nobody in here that's unlovely.
Yeah.
There's nobody in here that's past grace. And so that's really our message, is how we got started and what's made us who we are. I believe that that's just going to multiply within each and every one of our lives. And who knows who's out there in communities right now that they're going to be part of this church family later on? because of your simple life and your faithfulness of just showing up and saying, God, here I am. I don't know what you want to do. We have people starting Bible studies in small groups this fall, and they're scared to death. They're like, I've never done this before. But those are steps of faith. And God responds to those steps of faith. That's what he's been doing for 16 years with us.
Yeah. Action steps, you know. I believe that Jesus was on the planet and died. That's pretty historical fact. There's not too many people that argue that fact. I believe, and the Bible says, that he did it for you.
Yeah.
That counted for you.
Yeah.
So believe.
Yeah.
Believe that in your soul. Believe that. And confess that to someone else. So if you believe and then you confess it, you'll be saved. You know, so those are the action steps that the Bible talks about. It's the same ones that we want you to do. You know, just believe in Jesus Christ, that what he did counted for you. Accept that, you know, and then just confess it to one another. And we'll continue to do that with each other. And then dig deep in his word. I mean, you got to spend time with him.
Yeah.
You got to spend time. And the Bible says, as your roots go deep, then the tree bears fruit.
Yep.
You know, but it has to start with you digging, learning, loving, you know, his word and what he has to say.
One last thing. We don't have time to go into it because we need to wrap up. We have always functioned family first, not business first. We function with business principles. We have an outside accountant now that oversees our books. But we're not a church family that puts business model ahead of family and flock. God's model is the body, the flock, and the family.
Yeah.
So we are committed to those three things, not in reverse order. And so you can ask questions, and we can talk about that more. But that's part of who we are, and that's what we're going to fight to keep.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, join with us. God's tapping on you to do something, to step out,
yep,
to dig deeper. Maybe it's just you. This is a season in your life where you need to figure out what it means for you to get on your face before God and say, God, show me who you are. And man, invest in that. Do that. And get involved in one of these studies. God might be tapping on you to open up your home for a meal where people could come over and just pray. And that's what we're about. I mean, join us, because we don't have anything special going on besides our connection with God. And
that's it.
We need you to keep this thing rolling.
And we're just trying to model. You seek him. You show up. You do it by faith. And you know what? You just keep showing up, seeking him, doing it by faith. He doesn't ignore that.
No.
If he can use me, he can use any of you sitting here this morning. And I mean that genuinely, for his glory.
Absolutely. That's good.
You ready to sing?
Well, you may close in prayer while they get ready.
That's okay. A better idea, Chris.
Let me pray. So, Father, we thank you. God, thank you for being faithful to each one of us. And so, Father, I know that they're not everybody here under the sound of my voice has a deep connection to you. But I pray that you would help them to be able to understand who you are, and that they would be able to sense your love reaching out to them, even through some of us here this morning. God, I pray that you would draw us closer and closer to you. Father, we have nothing if we lose you. So God, I pray for right now, but for our church family as we move forward, Father, I pray that you would be center. God, I pray that we would keep you on your throne and that we don't try to take your place. Father, I pray that we would be able to be a people that are defined by our commitment to taking one more step to get closer to you. That we would be people that are defined by what you define us by. That we would be able to be people that are committed to your word and to prayer, and that we would see you do some crazy things, changing lives, drawing people to yourself, and changing this county, this state, this region upside down for your name. So God, we want to see that happen. We want to see you move in us. So God, do what only you can do. So we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.